I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein. I found in my own life that I gain even more from these inspired sermons when I study them in greater depth.
The basic pattern is to identify the fundamental doctrine or principle that's being taught, find any invitations associated with and related to that doctrine or principle, and then also recognizing the promised blessings if we act in accordance with that invitation.
Welcome to Words of the Prophets, a podcast where I discuss the latest talks from the General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. My name is Todd. Today I have with me my daughter, Aaliyah. How are you, Aaliyah?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. Any fun, exciting things happening in your life?
Work. Every day.
Lots of work. It's good to work hard, right?
Good awesome. Work.
Well, good. Great. Well, so let's say hi to Burke. How are you today, Burke?
I'm doing great. Made wonderful use of a fully open Saturday today to clean the garage and organize, and now I'm getting to talk about conference. Perfect day.
Fantastic. That is so satisfying to get the garage clean. I love it. In California, nobody puts their cars in their garage. Do you guys actually put cars in your garage, Burke?
Three cars are parked in our garage.
Fantastic.
Every night. Yep.
Yeah.
And we one are... of them is a giant van.
Yeah. I am not a believer in putting your most expensive possessions in your driveway while you fill up your garage with garbage.
Indeed. Well, we are above the mean here because we have one car in our garage, but that's all that would really fit. So, Rivka, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. Glad to have you today. Anything new and exciting in your life?
Not a lot. Mostly just going on. Keeping on, I guess.
Keep on keeping on. Okay, yeah. Well, that is what Elder Holland is doing, and we're going to talk about his talk today, Motions of a Hidden Fire. And before we say anything else about it, can we just say that is the best conference talk title I have ever read in my life?
It's pretty good.
Yeah. When the written versions came out, I read that and I was like, when did he even say that in his talk? And so I like control find in the talk to figure out where it was. It's a him, I think, but yeah, it's crazy cool.
So from good.
Prayer is the soul's sincere desire.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Aaliyah, does that register any pop culture references for you?
No.
Well, it is close to, not the same as, but it reminded me of Lord of the Rings, of course, where Gandalf is standing on the bridge. Yeah, against the Balrog. Mm-hmm. And he says, I am the servant of the secret fire, wielder of the flame of Anor.
There you go.
So, Motions of a Hidden Fire, a secret fire. Well, let's figure out. I know, I'm a nerd. It's
Fly, you fools.
Fly, you fools. it's a feature, not a bug.
And now everyone knows where I get it from.
Indeed. Well, let's start with you, Aaliyah. After we recovered from reading that stunningly amazing title, what was your fundamental doctrine?
God hears every prayer we offer and responds to each of them according to the path he has outlined for our perfection.
Oh, right to the heart of the talk. So tell me why that resonated with you. That, by the way, was literally right past the title. It is the first sentence that summarizes the talk at the top. But yeah, why did that resonate?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that. The little like summary. There's always like a summary phrase or quote from it. That was it. Yeah. Well, in the section that he says that, he's talking about how the prayers that were happening for him and for his wife were both answered, but in different ways, obviously. And I really like that it says, according to the path God has outlined for our perfection.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I have thought of it, but not like in that. I've never heard it described in that way. And I just really like that idea that God knows more than us. So we can pray and he wants us to pray, but ultimately it will be answered in the way that we all want, which hopefully if we have good desires is our perfection. Even if in the moment what we want isn't that, I guess.
Yeah. So the Lord has a plan, and his answers to our prayers will follow that plan for our good.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever happened to you where the answer didn't come, or it came in a different way than you expected or wanted, and then later you understood why it happened that way?
There's been a lot of times where I'll try and pray away like physical pain. I'll just be feeling sick or at work or wherever, and I'm just like, take this pain away so I can do my job or do my homework or sit through this class. And sometimes he does take it away, and sometimes, and I also have started just praying, or help me make it through, because that usually is what happens. And there was one time in the MTC, the home MTC, where I just felt really sick physically and mentally was suffering as well. And I was like, just take it away so I can deal with this Zoom call that's supposed to be for my benefit. And it didn't change. But then that night, I had a really impactful spiritual experience when I prayed in gratitude for that trial, I guess, even though it was just that one day. And it was just really cool to see how God was helping me see the benefit of the hard times, I guess, through answering my prayer by not taking it away.
Okay, so you gained some perspective later.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. That's a great story. Thank you. It can be hard. I listened to a podcast this week, and they talked about that very thing. And they said, you know, what they do is they pray, please, you know, grant this blessing. And then they always use the phrase, but if not, which, you know, is from isn't there a great conference talk where he goes over that phrase over and over? Yeah.
Where he talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yep. and so he'll say, you know, please bless this person to be healed. But if not, you know, bless them to have strength to deal with the suffering or whatever the case may be. So awesome. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. Let's go on to Burke. Burke, what was your fundamental doctrine?
Well, so there is something I marked that I think is a fundamental doctrine, but I'm going to read this because I couldn't let it go. So he talks about how he very nearly died, was in and out of ICU for 4 weeks of a 6-week hospital stay. And then he says that he drops this little bomb, which is very Nephi-esque. I cannot speak fully of that experience here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's referring to an experience where he said he was on the edge of eternity. And there's part of me that's like, so when can you speak about that? I'd like to hear about that. And I guess the answer is he's not going to tell us lots of that in scripture too. But then he says, I can say that part of what I received was an admonition to return to my ministry with more urgency, more consecration, more focus on the Savior, more faith in his word. And I know I brought this up in our recap, but like when Elder Holland is the one that's getting the advice, he needs to go back and maybe try a little harder. It just encourages me to try a little harder, I guess.
After feeling immense guilt conviction, at least
much guilt. Yeah. Cause I mean, if you know, go back and just listen to the way he's delivered conference talks for the last, you know, 30 years or whatever, you wouldn't guess he was lacking in urgency, consecration, focus, or faith.
Yeah.
So if he felt he needed to do that, I guess I can put that on my list too.
Indeed. And probably we all need that more and more each day, right? More holiness, give me.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings up a fundamental question, Burke. Is there really a trap door in the conference center? Yay or nay?
Well, you know, I would love to see it operate at least once.
I bet there are some people who are asked to speak who wish there was, and that it would just let them through real quick right at the beginning.
Yeah. There's tunnels under there, I think, right?
Yeah. Well, sure, there's tunnels.
There are tunnels. I have been in the tunnels underneath Temple Square, actually. I sang in an MTC choir when I was in the MTC. It happened to overlap with an October session of conference. And to avoid people from Utah mobbing their missionaries who were singing in the choir, they dropped us off just outside Temple Square and shuttled us down into these tunnels. And then we walked into the tabernacle. That's how old I am. This is before the conference center. and came up into the tabernacle from underground. So yeah, there are definitely tunnels. Mm-hmm. So, well, yes, he jokingly said that, you know, there's a hair trigger on the trap door waiting to drop him down if he doesn't do a good job on his talk. So probably that would be activated if you're the poor guy who goes after Elder Kieran and you have to follow up that accent and that talk. It's all over for you.
Oh, so. And since we brought up Elder Kieran, I have to correct myself from our last episode as well. He was not the person who left his son at the gas station.
Indeed.
Similar accent, different person. So yes. Sorry, Elder Kieran, my bad.
Falsely accused.
Yes. And we heard that from our friend Steve, who lives in the UK.
Yes. Thank you, Steve.
And he claims that leaving your kids at a gas station is not endemic in the UK. But I think we have three people, Elder Kieran, Steve, and Elder Phillips, and one of the three left their kids. So one third of all people, I think we are safe to conclude, in the UK leave their kids at a gas station. So I think we know statistically. And
never have we sounded more like US Americans than ever.
So true.
It's a shame that half of our listeners are from the UK.
That's true. Anyways, yes, thank you for that correction to our friend Steve. So, and thank you for fundamental doctrine, Burke. So let's go on to Rivka. Rivka, what was your fundamental doctrine?
Toward the end of the talk, he said, against that backdrop of Christ's victory over death, and his recent gift to me of a few more weeks or months in mortality, I bear solemn witness of the reality of eternal life and the need for us to be serious in our planning for it. This is an urgent matter for all of us.
Oh, so you also focused on urgency. So why did that resonate with you?
I don't know, really. I think because it felt initially like such a shift from what he had been talking about. Mm-hmm. Like he was talking about prayer and then the Savior praying and all that stuff. And then he's like, and by the way, eternal life is real and we need to be serious in our planning for it. And also the word planning was interesting to me. So I was thinking like, what, how do I plan for this, you know? Because for me, I'm like, what list do I need? Not really, but
think celestial. That's how you play.
Think celestial. Indeed. Yeah, but that's such an instead of prepare. I feel like usually when I hear this talked about, it's like there's a need for us to prepare for it.
Right.
But he's saying there's a serious. There's a need for us to be serious in our planning for it, and that I don't know. That feels maybe a little more in keeping with some of the urgency that's been spoken of about. Our work in helping prepare the earth for the second coming and all the different things that are going into that temple work and family history work and missionary work and our own personal increase in discipleship.
So how does one plan for eternity, Rivka? You've had time to ponder it.
Have I? it's interesting because right after that he says, fortunately, we have help for this task of preparing, lots of help. And then he gives us a list of things he says we need to believe in. And so I think maybe part of the planning that we're doing is planning what we need to do to increase our testimony of certain things.
Mm.
Angels, miracles, promises of the Holy Priesthood, gifts of the Holy Ghost, influence of good family and friends, power of the pure love of Christ, revelation, prophets, seers, and revelators, President Russell M. Nelson. Those three things are listed separately. And then with prayer and pleading and personal righteousness, we can ascend to Mount Zion. So he gives us this list of, broad and varied but important aspects that we need to make sure we believe in. And probably as I look at that list, that's a really good list of things that we will need to trust and have faith in and have built into our, like the framework of our life in order to, President Nelson would say, survive spiritually in what's in the days ahead, right? Mm-hmm. To endure the turbulence of the last days and the difficulties and be able to do all the things that the Lord is going to ask us to do to help.
Right. That's a lot. He covered the whole gospel there, basically.
I know, but it's nice. Like, you could just, well, that's an invitation, you know?
Yeah. Pick one, work on it.
Yeah.
When I think of planning for eternal life, I think of the idea that the same society that exists now will exist then. And so, of course, all these things are things we should all be working on just generally. But maybe my planning is shoring up my relationship with my wife and my kids, and those sorts of things. So planning for a happy, eternal society to live in. So, and, you both talked about urgency. We haven't mentioned it yet, but I feel like it has to be said here that, I don't know that he was being prophetic in saying this or just throwing it out there, but he said it out loud and in print. He said a few more weeks or months in mortality.
I noticed that. Not years.
Yeah, not years. So that's sad.
I don't know. It could be 48 months. You don't know.
Yeah, right. And it was sad to think of how many of those senior apostles are all declining to the point that previously, even a few years ago, they were all walking up to the podium. And now President Nelson, President Eyring, President Oakes, they all look like they were struggling in one way or another. Elder Holland, of course. Who am I missing? I feel like there was somebody else. And that leaves us down to Elder Uchtdorf, I think. So, yeah, they're aging. And President Nelson, I thought, might be the first person who was just, you know, twinkled in front of us in conference and live forever. But no, maybe that won't happen. So, but the mantle will continue to pass on. So, all right, let's go back to Aaliyah. Aaliyah, so you talked about prayer. Can you give us more context as to why that was important to Elder Holland for this talk?
Well, all I know is that, as you were saying, he was in the hospital for a long time, and a lot of people were praying for him, including and fasting as well, people that he knew, people he didn't know personally, just people in the church. And he said that he guessed that his name was probably on every prayer roll in every temple in the world, which I'm guessing is probably accurate. So,
and then how about the story about his wife?
That he was also praying for her health, and then she ended up passing away instead.
Yeah. And so, does he give us an answer here? Why does the Lord sometimes answer prayers when we ask for Elder Holland's health and not answer them the way we want when we ask for Elder Holland's wife's health?
Well, he says, "It is for reasons known only to God why prayers are answered differently than we hope, but I promise you they are heard and they are answered according to his unfailing love and cosmic timetable."
Yeah. Anything to add to that thought, Aaliyah, or to flesh it out at all?
I know that there's a lot of power that comes with a prayer of faith, and that God works miracles through those prayers. And I also know that there's a lot of comfort in understanding that no matter how that prayer is answered, it will be answered. And that answer is for our benefit and for the benefit of those we're praying for.
Yeah. So I have a tougher question for you than the first time I asked you. So instead of something that was answered in a way different than you expected, have you ever prayed for something and felt the Spirit prompt you that you were praying for the wrong thing? And that you should adjust your prayers?
I guarantee I have. I'm trying to think of a specific example. The biggest one is just when I try to pray away, like out of difficult situations, or like pray to leave a trial. And then I can just tell that's not it. That's not right. And so it's kind of like Nephi when he's praying for strength to break the bands instead of for them to just like not exist anymore. You know, like God usually doesn't have to correct me if I ask for strength to deal with whatever he's helping me deal with.
Yeah. As we read through that part in Nephi this year, I realized that he was tied up and he prayed for the strength to break the bands. And then it says
then
the bands
were
loosed.
Yeah. He didn't even get the strength. They just fell off.
Yeah. So sometimes that's how it happens. I think for me, Elder Eyring's prayer might, you know, the one we've talked about a bunch in this podcast, that might have resonated with me more than any other conference thing I have ever read, like in terms of changing my day-to-day life. You know, as I've even this happened, even this week, I was sitting in the temple praying for something specific, and basically it amounted to fix this problem for me. And I felt the Spirit prompt me and said, that's not really what you should be praying for. And so I changed my prayer to, Lord, tell me what you want me to do. I will do anything that you ask, and you know, thy will be done, and show me thy will, and I will do it. So as Elder Eyring said, that is a prayer that works. So Burke, how about you? Either of those questions, have you had a time where you've prayed for something and gotten an answer you didn't expect, or the Spirit has prompted you to alter your prayers and pray for something different?
Oh yeah.
Can you share an example?
Well, you know, I'm an anesthesiologist, and when I was in medical school, I worked really hard to become an orthopedic surgeon. So clearly somewhere in there, something changed.
Indeed.
And there were so many times in there where things were not looking good for me on the orthopedic surgery track. And I would pray for things and I would get these answers like, yeah, it's okay. Or yeah, it's going to be fine. Or don't worry about that. And I would think, how could I possibly not need to worry about that?
Yeah.
And you know, eventually it all worked out. And that's one kind of just one example, but there's so many times, just like Aaliyah says, where I go to try to pray for something that I'm thinking about or that I need, and I can't even pray about it.
Yeah.
You know, I get that stupid thought where I can't even get there. And so it's funny because he has this next phrase right after what Aaliyah read where he says, if we ask not amiss, there are no limits to when, where, or about what we should pray. And when I first heard him say that, I was a little bit like, that's kind of like 40% of the time this works every time. but then if I'm honest with myself and my own prayers and seeking God's will, this is so often what happens is it's like God saying, here's some stuff that's off limits. So don't pray for that. But once you get outside of those things, that there really are a lot of things where I think God's like, go ahead. There are options here. There are multiple different ways you can grow and multiple different ways I can bless you. And why don't you give me a chance? Pray for one of those things and I'll help you out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you could look at it the pessimistic way, but I am trying to choose not to do that most of the time now.
Yeah. And that really emphasizes, Burke, that's a great insight. It emphasizes how important it is to have the Spirit with you when you pray, or at least to listen to it. Because in the Bible Dictionary, it talks about prayer being a form of work. And, you know, sometimes we have to put forth that effort. And right now we're reading about Enos coming up here and how he prayed, you know, cried mightily and all of that. So, but we could potentially be praying with all this effort for something the Lord is not going to give to us because it wouldn't be for our good. So, we need to be guided by the Spirit in how we're praying. So yeah, I like that.
I would also add though, in that part that Aaliyah read about the cosmic timetable, that's the second thing I want right after the list of the blessings and the obedience to which they're dedicated. So yeah, I want the blessing and obedience list first. And then the second thing I want is the cosmic timetable. So if I could just maybe just get a download of those two things, that would
be when you get them, please forward them to me.
So maybe you should try praying for them and you'll know really how likely it is.
Indeed. Well, Rivka, any other parts of this talk that you wanted to share with us?
This statement he makes, Our prayers ought to be vocal when we have the privacy to so offer them.
I loved that.
Yeah. And he takes that from one of the Psalms, and he is a great lover of the Psalms. He wrote an entire book going through them. But it was something to think about. I mean, I have said vocal prayers before, and I thought maybe that's something I should try doing more.
I love it. And it was an invitation, right?
Yeah. I mean, the times that I've done it, it has certainly helped my focus.
Yeah.
And my fervency.
Right.
Which are things that he's encouraging us to have more of. So I can see why that counsel is good counsel set in this context.
Yeah. Well, that is a great invitation. Let's get to some others. Aaliyah, did you find any invitations in here?
Yes. At the very end, he says, "Repent of our sins and come boldly to the throne of grace, leaving before him, God, there our alms and our heartfelt supplications." So essentially, awesome. Repent and don't be afraid to talk to God and ask him for things and tell him things. And the blessing is, "We will find mercy and compassion and forgiveness at the benevolent hands of our eternal Father and his obedient, perfectly pure Son."
Awesome. So he's tying here repentance and prayer together. So repent through prayer, maybe we could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that works.
Awesome. I love it. Burke, how about you? Any invitations?
He says, "When we don't know how or exactly for what to pray, we should begin and continue until the Holy Spirit guides us into the prayer we should be offering." So that's kind of the invitation and the blessing at the same time. And I think of everything maybe in this talk as far as good direction for those who are like, yeah, does this really work? Try this. I mean, we've kind of talked around it, but yeah, if you're in a tough spot and you know you need help, but you're not sure exactly what you need help for sure, there's a lot of things you can try and you can think it through yourself, but also go to God and start out your prayer and just start it and do the best you can and be fervent, maybe pray vocally. And I can tell you that there's many prayers in my life that started out one direction, but ended up a totally different direction. So this does work.
Amen. I love that invitation. And Ribka, how about you? One last invitation.
He says, "If there be any time we feel not to pray, we can be sure that hesitancy does not come from God, who yearns to communicate with his children at any and all times." So I like the invitation to remember that a hesitancy to pray is never something that is going to be coming from God, or a feeling of unworthiness. And I love that he specifies that God yearns to communicate with his children at any and all times. It does not matter where you are or what you're doing, including if you're in the middle of maybe doing stuff you should not be doing or involved in something you shouldn't be involved in. There's not a time you can't turn to him. And he is the surest way to escape from trouble or sorrow or grief. So any and all times, that's when God wants to hear from us.
Awesome. So a great summary there. God is always listening. We can pray anytime, anywhere. And if we aren't sure what to pray or how to pray, just keep trying and listen to the Spirit, and you'll be guided to connect with the Lord. So I think that was a great message from Elder Holland. I, for one, hope that he's around more like months and less like weeks, and that we get a few more wonderful conference talks out of him, because he has provided some of my absolute favorites, and it was a pleasure to hear this one. The next one we're going to discuss is one of my favorites from this conference, "Put Ye on the Lord Jesus Christ" by Sister J. Annette Dennis, First Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. In the meantime, Aaliyah and I are working very hard to put out lots of good social media content. And frankly, I am terrible at it. I'm trying to learn. Aaliyah's a little better. But well, my frequency has gone up, but the quality has not improved. But we're trying. But we love to engage with you on social media, and Aaliyah's going to tell you how to do that.
You can email us at wordsoftheprophetspodcast@gmail.com, or you can message or comment on our Facebook and Instagram at Words of the Prophets Podcast.
Awesome. And we especially appreciate anyone who may have just joined listening to the podcast after this recent conference and you're looking for a way to get more out of conference. Of course, the goal here is always to go back and study the talks ourselves, but we love discussing them and we get so much out of it and we're happy to share that and continue to relive these talks for the next 6 months. So thanks for joining us today. And until next time, keep the faith.
If we teach by the Spirit and you listen by the Spirit, some one of us will touch on your circumstance, sending a personal prophetic epistle just to you.